Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, it's game day. Who's fired up? Who's fired up? Are you fired up, Mark Schlereth? Are you fired up, Millennial Ben?
I am so excited. We're going to find out who the worst team in football is. Isn't that kind of what we're doing right now?
Well, whoever loses will clearly be the worst team in football. Yes.
There was a whole rankings thing. You know how they do the power rankings after 3 weeks? Every week they do a power rankings based upon the games. If you look up and down the power rankings, the Broncos, I think, were as high as 29 and as low as 31. And I'm talking about like CBS and Yahoo's and ESPN power rankings and all these different power rankings. They average number 30. So they think the Jets and the Giants are worse than the Broncos. But Broncos are the number 30 power ranked team in the NFL right now.
The good news is...
Okay, give me the good... I love you. When you start with the good news, Mike, you are so, like... I got to tell you, you are so kind of... You just elevate the program. Because you know me, I'm just like doom and gloom, Eeyore, oh no, the sky has fallen, Chicken Little. And then you're going to elevate with good news.
Well, I was listening to The Drive yesterday, and Tyler Palumbis... Cue the music.
Mount Palumbis,
speak. Gentle Ben.
Yeah.
Talking to the animals.
Uh-huh.
Getting some insight.
Scratching Ben right behind the ears.
He said that he knows some people in that Jets building.
Uh-huh.
And he says it's bad. Like, they want their coach to be fired. They hate their coach.
Right.
Everyone's waiting for Gase to be fired. He said also, just in watching the Jets play, that this is truly, truly an awful football team. So while I know the Broncos have some issues, I know they have some deficiencies, I'm not ready to just think of them as an out-and-out, just awful, dreadful football team. I don't think they're very good. But I don't think they're truly dreadful. As I sit here right now.
Right. As you sit here at 6:03 in the morning.
Subject to change, but no.
Well, I mean, if that is the case, if those guys are, you know, like a National League hockey team that just kind of quits playing for 2 weeks until their coach gets dumped, you've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
That happens. Yeah, I find... Like, football's different. Like, the lack of guaranteed contracts, the fact that if you put that on tape, all 32 teams are looking at it, and, you know, it costs you in free agency, it costs you an ability to make money at times. You know, they'll use that against you. Will they play hard? Yeah. Will they maybe not play smart? Or I don't know, but if you lose to the Jets... And you and I both have them losing tonight, don't we?
I do.
So
I guess maybe by tomorrow at this time, I'll call them dreadful. But right now, I don't think they're dreadful.
If you lose to the Jets, it is an all-time, it may be the lowest point of low points. What do they use in novel? Did they say the nadir or something?
Yeah, the nadir.
The nadir?
Nadir. Not nadir.
The nadir?
Nadir. Apex, nadir.
That's the apex, right? That's the height?
The highest. Nadir's bottom.
Nadir is the bottom. Are you sure it's nadir?
Yes. Gosh. I worked with Sandy Clough for a long time.
Well, Sandy...
I have an expansive vocabulary.
Chickabawa.
Sandy may be using it incorrectly.
No like, way. Impossible. Impossible.
Sandy.
Impossible. You take that back.
Well, I mean, like, he may be using the French pronunciation.
No. Smartest man I know.
He is smart, isn't he?
Pinky Pete Brain.
Yeah.
He's a veritable cornucopia of words.
The lowest point, the nadir.
The nadir, lowest point. Yeah, I don't think we've reached our nadir yet. Lose tonight?
Different story.
Yeah, I do have them losing, don't I?
Are you going to change that, maybe? Maybe give them a win, the first win of the season?
They can't lose to the Jets, can they?
Oh, you'd be surprised what they could do.
They're favored. Even when they made the switch to Rippon.
It's a pick 'em right now.
Yeah, but they were a 3-point favorite. So it's gone down, but they're still they're basically still a favorite. Home team gets 3 points for the
What would you say?
Maybe that's changed now these days.
What would you say, though, seriously? If you're the Jets and you're bad and you want your coach fired, I get all that. But you're like, dude, this Brett Rippon has been on the practice squad not once but twice, has been cut both years he's been in the league and brought back to the practice squad, and nobody in the league thought it wise to pick him up. If we lose to him, Gase, have no problem.
Gase might as well just... So there's a strike.
He should wear his suit underneath his sweats tonight.
I'll tell a story. There's a funny story. He's long gone from here. So there used to be a guy that used to coach at the University of Denver basketball, Terry Carroll, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if they lost a game that he was so upset with his team's performance, no joke, he'd walk right across the floor, right out the door, right out the gym, and he'd just start walking. he wouldn't even talk to the team. He wouldn't get on a team bus. He'd just start walking. And that's what Adam Gase probably should do. Just head out.
I'm telling
into
you.
Into the swamps of Jersey.
Just have
exit
your
16W and just start walking.
Here's what you do. If you're Adam Gase, this is what you do tonight. Okay? You show up to the equipment staff and you turn in your sweats that you normally wear and say, hey, can I get a double XL? And they're like, why do you need a double XL? And you go, well, I'm not going to take my street clothes off. I'm just going to put these sweats over the top of my street clothes because I'm not going to take the time to get undressed because I know that I'm getting fired right after we lose tonight.
Yeah.
And then you just strip off your sweats. They're like those rip-away pants in basketball. You just rip them off and you don't even go through the locker room. You just exit.
Well, I'm curious, and I want to throw this out to all the texters, all the listeners, Broncos country right now. Where are you at right now in regards to this game? Do you want them to win because you're a Bronco fan and you want them to win? Is there a part of you that wants them to lose so that they are the worst team in football? And they put themselves at the front of the pack for the Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields sweepstakes. Broncos country. How do you feel about tonight? And really, what do you want out of tonight? Love to get your reaction. RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Speaking of Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, are they worth tanking for? Joel Klatt. We'll tell you what he thinks next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Well, I mean, you could have a tie. I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to contemplate that. All right, let's get to Joel Klatt, our buddy who joins us each and every week, and we want to make sure you 6 a.m. listeners get here the best of the best, and especially since, there's so much talk now about tanking for Trevor Lawrence. Joel follows college football, is lead college football analyst for Fox, so asked him what he thinks of Trevor Lawrence.
Well, Lawrence has it all. He has presence. He's got the arm. He's got the stature, the leadership ability. He's got, I would say, above average athleticism. Even though you wouldn't think he does, he's terrific in the pocket. He makes incredible throws. I just think he is kind of the overall package, man. And he's probably been ready to play in the NFL for over a year now. And because the NFL's rules has had to sit there at Clemson. I don't know, like everything you can possibly say about him in the positive fashion, I can say about him. And quite frankly, the same with Justin Fields. The only difference is that he's developed just a little bit later. Like we've known this about Lawrence for a while. Last year, I went to Ohio State in the spring to see Fields right after he had transferred from Georgia. And it looked pretty rough, to be honest with you. And even Ryan Day and I were standing there and he was like, well, this is a bit of a project, but he's really talented. And I said, yeah, you know, I mean, he'll figure it out. You got a good team around him and he should be all right. Well, he developed so well. I actually just did a video. I think it was last week. I would encourage Bronco fans. And this is not a shameless plug. This is just like a dive into Justin Fields. I did a video last week about what Fields brings to the table that we've always known and then what he developed late last year that I thought made him an easy, bona fide top two, top three pick in the NFL draft. And you can go see it there. One is, obviously, he's athletic. He's as athletic or more than anybody in the league outside of Lamar Jackson. So you've got that. And he's a little more sturdy. Just from his physical makeup. And then he has developed as a passer incredibly well under Ryan Day, who I think is one of the best coaches I've ever seen in the sport. He's very good throwing the football down the field. He's gotten so much better at his accuracy in the intermediate zones. And I think that he is going to be a player that you put in the vein of some of these young players that come in and take the league by storm. Because of their ability to control the defense, not only with their eyes and passing ability, but also with their legs. So those two guys, I think any Bronco fan out there worth their salt should be salivating at the thought of potentially having one of those two guys in a Bronco uniform.
So what does that mean for Drew Lock? If one of those two guys are available and you're at the top of the draft,
I'm sorry for Drew Lock, but those two guys are just flat better than Drew Lock, period. Like in almost every single way, you know, and I'm not saying Drew is bad. Like that sounds really negative and I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm not trying to beat around the bush either. I think any evaluator worth their salt would look at those two guys, evaluate them, look at Drew Lock, look at their body of work and say, yeah, absolutely. I'd take one of those two guys. Yeah. It's just to me, it's an absolute no brainer. And again, I don't mean to be dismissive, but it's not even close.
Let me ask you about this offense under Pat Shurmur, because, you know, I said it in the broadcast last weekend. I'm like, hey, don't put your people in a position to lose and then be surprised when they lose. Right. I mean, that's
That's so true.
I, you know me.
I
can be brutal. Like you're shocked that you put your quarterback in a position to lose, and you can't block anybody, and you're in three wides, and they're bringing heat off the edges, and your quarterback can't recognize it. Like at what point do you look at what you have as an offensive coordinator and say we can no longer play that way? Like, at some point, will they change that?
I mean, you would think, right? But offensive coordinators are a stubborn lot. I will tell you that at both levels. And I think it's, as I've gone through, you know, I haven't done this for 30 years, but I've been around football for 30 years. And I can tell you, coaches tend to be some of the most stubborn creatures alive. And it's born out of two things. One is pride, which is just an individual trait that I can't do anything about. The other is lack of development. They get one system, and some of them have only come up through one system or have only used one system for any number of years. And then they attach themselves to one or two years of success. And then they think that that's what they are. But in reality, if you were to average seasons out, what you would find is many of these coaches and coordinators that are attached to these one systems aren't what they are at the top end. They are what they are in the middle. And I think that's oftentimes what we fail to realize as fans and even executives when we're hiring these types of guys is that you can't just say like, hey, remember that 1 year with X, Y, or Z team or quarterback or whatever, that, you know, he had success. Well, we're bringing him in because he had success then. It's like, great. I mean, that's like saying Brian Billick is an offensive genius because he had Randy Moss as a rookie with the Minnesota Vikings in 98. Not like those Baltimore teams were offensive juggernauts. They got the job done and allowed their defense to win a Super Bowl. But you get what I'm trying to say, right? At some point, you got to stop what you're looking at the top end and start looking at what you are at your average. That might be a scathing criticism, but it kind of is what it is. And I think the same could be said for Pat Shurmur and the lack of creativity and help that he gives the offensive line. Look at the creativity that Kansas City gives their players. And it's like, everyone's like, well, look at Mahomes and look at all these people. I would argue that Andy Reid, and maybe more specifically Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator at Kansas City, give their players more opportunity to succeed than maybe any other offensive coaches in the league. And the reason is that they have a willingness to be creative, right? And I think that takes a humble nature and saying like, okay, it's not going to be my same old formations, my same old concepts all the time. I mean, they had the four wide receivers. They're spinning people around. They're running little tight end H-back screens in the middle of the field. And granted, they can do that with Mahomes. I understand that. But at some point, don't you sit there and say, hey, listen, Denver cannot play base offense and succeed. It's not going to happen. Mark, I see no evidence, zero. There is not one shred of evidence that this Bronco team can line up and run base offense and move the football down the field. So you got to try something else at some point, in particular on first and second down, in order to get yourself away from the obvious down situations in which you will inevitably see pressure with a young quarterback who has a hard time recognizing it and an offensive line that can't A, communicate, or B, execute picking up said pressure.
There he is, the very handsome Joel Klatt, who joins us each and every week, presented by Audi Flatirons. We've got the Morning Brew coming up. What does John Elway have to say about the struggles surrounding this team that he has built? You'll hear from the Duke, John Elway, coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
You know, I think we're at the point now we got to take it one week at a time and, you know, focus on one game and, you know, try to get to 1-0 in our own minds. So if we can do that, going against the Jets team that struggled a little bit, but we still have to go back in their backyard. So hopefully we can get that done. It's a long way to go, but, you know, I think everybody around here is hungry for that first win.
All right, John Elway talking to DenverBroncos.com about where his team stands right now. You think John looks around? Do you think he's feeling the heat? Or do you think he's sort of oblivious to it?
Oh, I don't think there's any way you can be oblivious to what's going on.
In terms of heat that may be directed at him.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Mike. I mean, if you just follow along here in Denver, Colorado, and follow along on the text line, and follow along if you talking to people at the grocery store, whatever the case may be, this is the first time that I can ever remember any fans holding John accountable for the woes of this organization. It's always been, it's a coaching problem. It's, it has never fallen on his lap. And for the first time that I can ever remember, more of it seems to fall on his lap. I mean, just follow the text line.
Yeah.
It used to be 90% of the people had the favorable rating for John.
Yep.
And now it's 90% say, man, you got to start from the top and tear it down. Like, it's...
It's a stark contrast. You think it's been that much of a shift? 90% one way to 90% the other? I think it's gone from, like when I first started, banging the drum 2-3 years ago, that look, Elway's doing a lousy job.
Right.
Oh, you're right. It was overwhelming. Like, oh, look at his record, blah, blah, blah. I say right. Like 20%. It was like 20-80 agreed with me. But I would say now it's maybe more along the lines of 50-50, 60-40.
I think it's higher than that. I mean, if you, and it's interesting too, because I understand what John did in the beginning. Like, you know, like Joel Klatt came on and said, well, you got to give him credit for, you know, going to two Super Bowls. Well, a lot of that, let's be honest, if we look at it, and you give him all the credit in the world for getting Peyton Manning to sign here, but Peyton Manning brought people with him because people wanted to play with Peyton Manning because you knew you had a chance to win a championship. And Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning's the guy who established the culture.
Yep. Changed it overnight.
And guess what? He left, and again, it's changed the opposite way. And during that time, you weren't drafting well. You're signing great free agents because they wanted to play with Peyton. Now you're losing free agents to Cincinnati.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Yeah, had a good conversation with Coach yesterday, you know, and then, yeah, as far as last game goes, I mean, it was good, you know, to get in there for a drive, you know, to get some experience. And then, you know, hopefully that can, you know, carry over this Thursday.
Brett, don't call me Mark Rippon, getting the start tonight. What do you think his line will look like?
Yeah, that's a great, what should it look like or what will it look like?
What will it look like?
Yeah, it should be like no more than 23, 24 attempts.
But like 17 of 24, something
yeah,
like that.
Something like that is what it should look. 212 yards, you know, blah, 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 a touchdown, maybe an interception, whatever. And you know, you should have a ton of carries and, you know, but it'll probably be 22 of 38.
Oh,
you know, something like that.
That's not good.
No, it's that's what they are.
You don't think that even with a rookie quarterback making his first ever NFL start, you still don't think that they'll go max protect and
I think Pat
double
Sherman,
tight ends?
I think Pat Shermer is the type of coach that wants an excuse to throw it. See, there's coaches that look at a 2 yard gain. Like, watch San Francisco. I told you last week they had 34 carries. They didn't crack 100 yards and they still got 34 carries. There are coaches that look at a 2 yard gain like, yeah, that was nasty. We got guys on the ground. Guys are struggling. And there's other guys that look at a 2 yard gain and go, we can't run it. We got to throw it.
Eight man box.
It's an eight man box.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Can't do it. Next on the Morning Brew.
James up top to Kuzma. Fakes, drives, gets inside, finds Davis for the slam.
Lakers radio. Well, that was fun while it lasted. Hey,
yeah.
look at the good news. The bright side is all the Miami Heat fans out there could just blame it all on the injuries. What can we do?
Right.
You know, Bam Adebayo's out. Goran Dragic out. Jimmy Butler's banged up. We would have beaten those darn Lakers if not for the injuries.
It does make it
easier, right? It's like a nice soft pillow.
Right.
Like down pillow.
We ought to get...
Feathers.
This popped into my head, and then I realized one of the guys is no longer with us. And then I felt bad about even thinking about it. I was thinking we should get Milli Vanilli to do a Blame It on the Injury song, you know? But one of the guys is no longer here, right? From Milli Vanilli? Blame It on the Rain,
yeah,
Blame It on the Injuries?
I'm familiar with Milli Vanilli, yes. Let's just move on.
It was good. In my head, it was really good. I probably should have just left it in my head.
You tried. Good effort. Good try.
Thank you.
Yeah, 116-98. Lakers win, and this one will probably be over in 4 or 5. So.
Yeah. I'm with you. It's, all right, man.
Hey, but you know what it means?
Would this be the Lakers' 17th World Championship? Oh, yeah?
I'm not sure. But with the Nugget fans, actually, you can look at this and say, you know what? The East was always bogus. The East was always inferior. We went to the Western Conference Finals. We're the second best team in the NBA.
Are you,
second best team?
You're second best team guy?
Well, for where they were just a couple years ago, to say that when it's all said and done, you can feel confident in saying you're the second best team in the NBA?
You really just want to be the second best team in the NBA?
Yeah.
Okay.
With the promise that more is coming, yes.
Okay.
I mean, that this is not the apex.
Oh.
But that there's still more.
Yes, okay.
Certainly
all right.
Not the Nader. Next on the Morning Brew.
Certainly not the Nader.
Harder than anybody. This
one is hit hard. Straight away center field, and that is deep, and that is gone. That's Corey Seager all season long as he hits his 16th of the year, and he gives the Dodgers a cushion. They now lead it 4-2.
Dodgers radio. I got to admit, I'm really enjoying these opening round plus, because they are 2 out of 3. And, I mean, there's immediate urgency.
Right.
You lose that first game, all of a sudden, you know, your back's up against the wall. So even the heavily favored teams don't have much wiggle room. So the Dodgers won, and the series had already ended. The Yankees swept the Indians 2-0. The Rays swept the Blue Jays. What else? Let's see. Houston. Oh, man. Twins have now lost 18 straight playoff games.
By the way,
how do you do that? 18 straight playoff games.
The Twins, the last time the Twins won a playoff game.
That Kirby Puckett, Ken Herbeck days?
No, Napoleon Dynamite was in the theaters.
Ah, really?
Yes, I saw that.
I always enjoy those. This is what was happening the last time, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Gas was... Air Supply was number one on the charts.
Ooh. Air Supply with Gray Slick. We built this city.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning.
Ben is going, right now, Ben is like, Air So What?
Air So What? Air Supply.
Grace who?
Great.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's what I thought. James Merrillack cares. He cares a lot. A lot of passion from James, and he'll share that with us next. All right, let's welcome in our buddy James Merrillett from 1043thefan.com. Joins us on the Fireball Hotline. Morning, James.
Morning, fellas.
All right, James, you've been calling for Vic Fangio's job since before the season started, essentially. So tonight, how important is this? Is this game going to seal his fate? If they lose this game, will it seal his fate?
Well, I think it should. If it will, I don't know, but I think it should. If they lose tonight... look, it's not a must win in terms of the actual standings and, you know, playoff chase and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think in terms of just trying to keep this thing somewhat on track and people buying in and, you know, everybody in the building having some sort of a good vibe, it feels like a must win. Cause if you go out and lose to the Jets and then you got 10 or 11 days here with a mini bye week after the Thursday night game to just kind of dwell on that. A trip to Foxborough looming, which means you're probably going to have the first 0-5 start in franchise history. I don't know how you keep anything positive. I don't know how you keep people believing in it. Look, is firing the head coach if they lose tonight going to solve all of that? No, but I think it would send a message of, hey, this is unacceptable and, you know, we got to do something. So, is it a must win? That's probably a little bit of an overstatement, but boy, it feels pretty darn close to it.
Is there part of you that finds yourself starting to get a bit intrigued with what this team could do if they ended up with the first or second overall pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of the hope that's out there, right? Like, if they end up with the first pick and they get Trevor Lawrence, and I like Drew Lock. I think Drew Lock's a good quarterback, and I think he has the potential to be a guy that would be here for a long time. But if you get the number one overall pick and you can draft Trevor Lawrence, you sprint to the podium with that card, right? You're a little bit in the situation that Arizona was in when they already had Josh Rosen, and Drew Lock's better than Josh Rosen, but they didn't, you know, sit there and say, hey, we already got a quarterback. We got to, you know, wait a couple years to see if he pans out. They took Kyler Murray and, you know, we're off to the races. I think it would be that kind of a thing. So, yeah, that would be intriguing.
But understand you're going to go through 13 more weeks of really painful, ugly football that we haven't seen around here in these parts since the 60s. So, you know, understand what you're signing up for as you show some curiosity for it.
Yeah, but to me, Mike, there's nothing more painful than being just mediocre.
Right.
Right? Like, 8-8 to me, especially when it's perpetual 8-8. Like, if you have an 8-8 season in your building and you know, coming off of 4-12, like, all right, it's progress. But just this constantly in the mud where you're going to have a pick that's going to be 15-20 and you're not getting anywhere. That's a fate that's worse than, you know, a couple of really bad seasons, right? Like, the Niners had a terrible year the year Jimmy G got hurt, and it just gave them a higher draft pick, and, you know, they continue to build things, and now look at them. They're a team that, you know, were in the Super Bowl, and they're 2-1 despite all the injuries. So, I think sometimes you just got to go through that. Look, I'm a longtime Nuggets fan. I've watched 11 and 71 seasons. A 4-12 would be, that'd be nothing.
What about the feel you have for, the job Elway is doing right now? And Mike and I were just talking about this, kind of the overall change of opinion of the job that he has done. And it really has been very few people here in Denver because of what he's done as a player and obviously what they did early with the two, you know, Super Bowls and one Super Bowl victory, throwing any of the blame his way. But it really seems to have shifted here publicly that a lot of people are holding him accountable. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but what have you made of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point, you know, the finger of blame has to be pointed at him, right? I mean, they're about to make history and become the first Super Bowl winning team to miss the playoffs the next 5 straight years. So when that's happening, the guy buying the groceries has to be responsible for, the bad meal year after year after year when you've had 3 different head coaches during that time. So, you know, I picked them to go 10-6 and I primarily did that because I liked the roster. So I think there's some talent there. So I think John has done a pretty good job the last couple of years drafting. I think that 2018 draft was overstated. I mean, right now, who's left from that? Bradley Chubb and Cortland Sutton, and that's it. And Bradley Chubb doesn't look like he's near the guy we thought he was, and Cortland Sutton's injured, so it's not his fault. But, you know, I think it's time for Elway to take some of the blame. But it's not just the players. I think it's also, he's the guy who picked, you know, he's looked at as the guy who picked VJ over Kyle Shanahan. He's the guy who picked Vic Fangio over Matt LaFleur and other coaches that were hired, prior to last season. So it's just mistake after mistake after mistake. Cause right now, whether it's in free agency, which they look like they had a really good class this year, but now they're not using any of those guys, the draft or hires in terms of the coaching staff, it's hard to find any right now heading into the Jets game on October 1st that look like good decisions. So even a guy who's, you know, arguably the biggest celebrity and the biggest name in the history of the state, even that guy is going to take some criticism at some point when it's that many mistakes.
All right, who you got tonight?
I've got the Jets. I have a hard time seeing Brett Rippon in his first ever start. And I know it's, you know, it's not on the road in the Meadowlands like it normally would be, but going on the road and getting a victory in a, you know, this kind of a situation. So believe it or not, I'm picking the Jets.
Okay. Thank you, James.
You bet, guys.
James Merrillat from 1043thefan.com. Hey, our friends at ished.com are giving away the baddest backyard barbecue for the New England game coming up on October 11th. They'll come to your house, set up an outdoor movie screen and projector for the game, tent, grill, 8 racks of ribs from Proud Souls Barbecue, even a snow cone machine to qualify. Mark, what number do we want to go with today? Yeah. 2 days ago, DeHuff didn't want to work. It was caller 4. Yesterday, we made him work. It was caller 69. So yeah.
I think
we'll give him a break. Let's go caller 6.
Caller 6. Wow, you are a softy.
I am soft.
Big panda bear. Caller 6 right now at 303-713-1043. 303-713-1043. We'll announce the grand prize winner on Friday. That's ished.com, the letter I, ished.com. All right, coming up next, we get locked and loaded. What has to happen tonight for Brett Rippon to have a successful first NFL start? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.